hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing
hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You reign forever. Oh, my.
Oh, my soul will sing.
Reign forever.
My part right here.
You brought me over.
Yeah.
Oh, my soul will sing.
Brought me over.
Oh, my.
Oh, my soul will sing.
You brought me
over. Oh, my soul will sing.
Sing hallelujah.
One more time.
You brought me over.
Over.
Oh, my.
Oh, my soul will sing.
You brought me.
Brought me over.
Oh, my.
Oh, my soul will sing.
You brought me.
Brought me over.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah.
Come on, lift that up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll sing to you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because you're holy, I'll sing.
Hey.
Hallelujah, good morning and welcome to a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. All right, the beginning of the week. Well, yeah, Sunday begins the week, the beginning of the work week, but the vacation work week this time around. Still a wonderful day, wonderful season. So, welcome to Monday. Welcome to Monday, first Monday in the month of April. April is the first month of the new quarter. And I believe that we are making great advancements. I believe that this season is a wonderful season in our lives. And I look forward to the series that we'll be dealing with this week. It will be helpful. Feel free to share with others the links. Anybody who misses this could always get back. That's a good part. It's always here. Once they have the link, they could always come. And if not, you could always find the page, so please, you could follow, all right? You can download the Spreaker app, all right? Please do. So you download the Spreaker app, so that allows you easily listen, and I believe that it also reduces, well, it actually also knocks off all the hitches you might be having, if you are having any. With listening, you know, from time to time, you could just download the Spreaker app and just get blessed by podcasts. All right. So Praise God. So welcome. So let me leave you in the hands of Chris Tomlin for a few minutes. Good Father. Praise God.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Welcome, glory to Jesus Christ. All right, so we're reading 1 Kings chapter 19 first this morning. 1 Kings 19, we read it last Monday, if you recall that. All right, you know, 1 Kings 19, we read it last week Monday, and last Monday I said there were three thoughts available, so I shared all three, and then we spent majority of the week, you know, most part of it on one of it. So 1 Kings 19, all right, so from the first verse. So please listen. And Ahab told Jezebel, 1 Kings 19 from verse 1, we're going down to verse 13. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how that he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your head, your life rather, as the life of one of the prophets, by this time tomorrow. And when he heard it, he rose and fled for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat on the juniper tree. Please, I want you to take note of the location. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was cake baked on coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said to him, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down your altars, slain your prophets with the sword. And now, even I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind blew the mountains, and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So I want us to put this in a particular context. Maybe what we'll deal with this week, at least beginning from today, we might call it the lockdown, all right? What you need to do when you don't know what to do, or what you need to do when you need to know what else to do, whatever else you might want to subtitle it, but there's always that need for a lockdown, a need for a retreat, a need for a pullback. And this week we're going to see a bit more of it. I believe in my heart that this will be helpful for all of us this week as we journey on together with the Lord. Okay, so you realize that Elijah got a life-threatening message, all right? And then he fled. So where did he go? He dropped his servant off at Beersheba, went a day's journey, and he went into the wilderness, all right, and sat under a juniper tree. So he needed an enclosure. He needed seclusion. He needed isolation. Please understand this. I'm now really not just trying to play on words. Maybe borrowing familiar words that we all know to express what is happening here to this wonderful man of God. He just had a great feat, and suddenly he allowed depression. He allowed thoughts of defeat. He allowed, suicidal thoughts, or, just let me quit. Let me give up. I'm not worthy. Let me die. It's not useful anymore. That's what happened to the great man of God. That's what happened to the prophet. That's what happened here to Elijah. All right. So thank God the angel comes and then gives him supernatural food, and then he eats it twice and he goes again. And then now the Lord wants to speak to him. But then first we see the strong wind. Strong wind. But the Lord is not in the strong wind. Then the earthquake. Oh. Then the Lord is not in the earthquake. Then the fire. Then the Lord is not in the fire. Then the still small voice. Then the still small voice. And then the Lord begins to speak to him. All right. There might be lockdown. And I'm not just trying to play on words. All right. There might be lockdown. But our minds might not have locked down. Our souls might not have locked down. And I know for very many of us, we're working from home, so there's a whole lot to do. All right, we have children running around. We have things going on. We have unfinished books and projects, and a lot of things happening right now. And all of them are legit. All of them are fantastic. But in this period also, create a bit of time for the Lord. And that's what I believe I need to help supply to someone listening, you know, this week. And set the time. You've got 24 hours in a day. Look through it. You would not have this kind of time or having this season in a very long time to come, except maybe when you go on leave or you're on vacation or something. We will not have this amount of time. Now, some in between jobs might still until a new job comes. You know, all those kinds of stuff I know, but averagely, this amount of time will not come. It won't come. It won't come. This lockdown will soon end. So there is the ultimate lockdown. There is that, is there something the Lord will have to tell me and we might need to retreat? So yes, you might be in your homes, but your minds might still be all over the world. And that's fine. You have things to do. But in the course of your day, maybe 3 hours of it, maybe 4 hours of it, maybe 5 hours of it, maybe 6 hours of it, so I'm going to make clear what I'm saying. I'm not just talking about reading a Christian book, all right? I'm talking about you being with the Lord. Please get what I'm saying now. All right, we talk about book and pray. And so I'm saying a bit more now, you and him, you know, you and him. That's if it's 2 hours of every day, lock down. All right, nothing else within that space of time. There's what he will tell you. There's what he wants to tell you. There's what he wants to reveal to you. There's what he wants to show to you. Shut down, lock down. And don't just make it a, you know, oh, I'm spending 1 hour, it's locked down, yeah, but I have a list of things. You know, I'll do praise worship for 5 minutes, then I'll do Bible reading for 3 minutes, then I'll do this for 4 minutes. And those things are fine. This is not what I'm talking about. This is just, you're there. So what's the agenda? The agenda is be with him. You know, be with him. It could just be you, your Bible, but as you read your Bible, you're praying in the Spirit. Your heart is open. You're praying. It's not, I'm reading, I've got 10 chapters to finish right now. I want to finish. That is also fine. You have 24 hours. Put that some of that space. I'm talking about this one. I'm going to read my Bible. Maybe you want to begin from Acts. You want to begin from Romans, from John. You want to read the book of Isaiah. Say, Lord, I'm just here fellowshipping with you and your word. If you get stuck on one verse for 45 minutes, it's fine. You understand what I'm saying? So I want to read 10 verses and then I'm gone. If you just get stuck on 3 words in a verse, you're stuck. Just lock down. All right? Doesn't have to be the whole day. Notice I keep saying 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Just pick the time and lock it down. Lock yourself down with him. All right? Because you might not get answers from the noise. Not the fire, not the strong wind, not the earthquake. You might not get your answers from all of that. There's a still, small voice. We're going to talk about this a bit more during the week, like I said. But let's build. If I jump a little bit ahead of myself, don't forget that Romans 8 teaches that the Spirit bears witness with our spirits. That inward inner witness. Every time, the biggest things God had told me, the biggest moves I've made in life did not come from me hearing an audible voice, didn't come from me hearing an authoritative voice. It was the inward witness, guys. Inward, the big moves of my life. The inward witness, that knowing from within. And many of us have those knowings. Have I had times that I wasn't sure about the knowing? Yes. So what did you do? You have to lock down to be clear. All right, because we have things we're not clear about and then we're still not clear about them. Because we just haven't now sat down away from the noise. away from the activities, away and just lock down with him. Isaiah 40 and 28, very familiar. Isaiah 40 and 28. Isaiah chapter 40, all right, the 28th verse. Are you there? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. 49 says he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. 30 again says, even the youth will faint. And this is interesting because the youth have strength. He says, but on this journey, the youth will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon him, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Allow me clear out something here. You know, for very many of us, we just, you know, believe once we're fasting, we are waiting on the Lord. But not necessarily so in a lot of cases, not necessarily so. You could fast and not wait on the Lord, and then you could wait on the Lord and not fast. All right. The context of fasting as waiting on the Lord, I believe, is because fasting helps you to wait on the Lord a lot better. So the context really is, or the question really is, what is waiting on the Lord? And the answer is there, waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord means waiting on the Lord. If you're waiting on me, it means your eyes are on me. It means your attention is on me. It means you're waiting for whatever instruction, whatever revelation. You're waiting on me. You're on standby. All right, so because you could fast and run your whole day and whole week the way you want it to go, you run your life however you want it to go, and then you go into the prayer before the fast is broken, and then you run through the motions of the things you've listed out you want to do, 15 minutes prayers and worship, I must read four, you know, chapters or a whole of the epistles, I must. You set the things you want to do, and once again, these things are fine. All right, because fasting basically still help you put your body under, and yeah, so it's fine. But I'm saying you could fast and not wait, because the whole context really is to wait. And someone else might take a little meal in the morning, maybe something during lunch, and still something at dinner. But all through the day is you know, Isaiah 26:3 says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. There's a waiting. It's you are waiting from within. Your whole being knows you're waiting on God. I mean, you just, thank you, Lord. And then your thoughts are there. Thank you, Lord. I have answers. I know what you have me do. Because you reveal things to me. You speak to me. Glory to God. You speak to me. Glory to God. So Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. So this season, can I encourage every one of us this week, prepare to, or at least do, or however you want to structure yourself, let me begin a lockdown some moments of my day a lot more intentionally. This whole period, don't just come out with a better, you know, informed mind because you've read, you know, whether academic books, whether Christian literature. I'm talking about you in a place of answers, you being transformed by fellowship, you and him. I've seen one simple instruction from God radically change my life. I've seen one single instruction from God completely switching me into a new level of operation. One single instruction. It just brings me to a new level of ministry. A completely new level. One instruction. Let's wait on Him. Just create those moments. Just wait on the Lord. All right, Luke chapter 10. You know, we see from verse 38, Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Ask her, therefore, to come and help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. I mean, Jesus comes to visit. Now, if you check from the first verse, Jesus had just sent out 70 people to go preach. And if you remember, they came back saying, Lord, you know, verse 17, even the devils were subject to us in your name. You know, Jesus in verse 19 told them, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Verse 21, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. So what if he didn't disperse the crowd? So what if he went home, you know, to Martha's house, went to Martha's home with 70 grown men, not children that you might cook some noodles for. Grown men, you know, except maybe Chinese men anyway that could eat noodles. You know, but grown men, he went, you know, so assuming that's what he did. Or maybe he dispersed the 70, but the 12 was it. My point is, we could still naturally want to understand why Martha might feel this is a lot of stuff to do here. This girl shouldn't be sitting down. But Jesus is saying that at this particular point in time, Martha had a lockdown. I mean, Mary rather had a lockdown. She locked herself down at his feet. And he said that Mary, verse 31, has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. And the 41st verse in King James says, but one thing is needful. That means at this particular point in time, there's something you need to spend your time doing. Yes, I maybe have just walked in to say hi to you, but this is not time to entertain me. This is time to listen to me. So maybe you're out there also, your ministry gift, you know, you're plotting, these are things I'd like to do for the Lord, and then you're planning, you're waiting, just let this whole break get over, man, we're just going to blow this whole place, the kingdom of God. Yes, he appreciates us serving, but he wants you to stay and be transformed. He has things to tell you, things to show you. Can we just stay with him? Just create the moments. Listen, I've had times now, I'm saying this, you need to please listen very well. You could read a whole book and you gained a whole lot of good stuff. A whole lot of verses in that book, solid stuff. But I've realized sometimes until I pick some of those verses by myself and then go and meditate on them by myself, for myself, what I just got from that book was knowledge. Really great knowledge. I mean, solid stuff. But I realized that those verses were still a bit shallow. Sometimes I also could meditate on the lines in the word, in the book. You pick them, you chew on them. Then it becomes like you. But if not, it's knowledge, good knowledge, great knowledge, solid Bible knowledge. But then you drop the book and you're still the same guy that took the book, except for the fact that you've known more now. But no, go further this season. Interact with the Lord. Maybe we'll do the other verses, you know, tomorrow. I just want to end by making reference to 2 Corinthians 3:18. says, but we all with unveiled faces, open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. To behold, it means to stay there, to keep looking. That's what we have to do. That's what the verse is telling us. You have to stay and keep looking. Mary sat at his feet. Her eyes were on him. She locked down. Her eyes were on him. Maybe Martha, before she came out, must have maybe dropped the pot. Clang on, just to make some noise. Just someone could say, oh, sorry, maybe let me come and help you. Maybe, just maybe. Maybe never happened. Maybe did. Maybe she might just have, you know, used a pan to heat one stove and bam, like something. And maybe, just maybe, maybe not. It's like they are just not getting my signals. Mary was on a lockdown. I believe this means something to you. Lockdown. So that when you come out of this season, this, I don't know which career is best for me, you will know, because a greater one will shine that light in you. Can we just feast our gaze on him? Feast our gaze and set our minds on him. Oh, Bible says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That's Proverbs 20 and 22. Allow your spirit shine light within so that you can see and know this season. So that we come out of this season not just with head knowledge, but with clarity and confidence in our hearts. Let's keep our gaze on him. Let's keep our gaze on him, please. Let's keep our gaze on him. Let's keep our gaze on him. Let's keep our gaze on him. I'll end on Luke 10, 42. Jesus said, but one thing is needful. One thing. Mary has chosen that good part, and it will never be taken away from her. Guys, in the words of Amanda Cook, may we never lose our wonder. May we stay gazed, guys. May we stay gazed and just keep our minds on him and always just want to get more and more into his thoughts, because we already have the mind of Christ, but get more and more, interact with his thoughts. Oh, that we will be transformed by the things we see and hear in these days of fellowship. That we'll be transformed by the things we hear and know in this moment of fellowship. Oh, we love you, Lord. That we'll be transformed as we interact more and more with you in fellowship, more and more with your spirit, and get changed. And get changed in this season. Changed and transformed in this season. Changed and transformed in this season. Praise. All right, so yes. May we be just like a child. Have a beautiful, beautiful Monday. Have a great Monday, and see you tomorrow. Oh.